people coming over. My face is on fire. I'm freaking out. I go upstairs and I cover my face in cold cream. I convince myself that somehow I have not ruined the rice.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense. Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Miss Sadie and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Girl, we are in the home stretch for a Thanksgiving. Okay. I know Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday, right?
I love it. Well, Easter's my favorite holiday. Thanksgiving resides within my favorite season, which is fall. Mm. I love fall more than any other season of the year.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
It's perfect. Everything about it. The colors, the leaves,
the sweater,
the clothing. Yes. The vibe. All of it. And I'm not a vibes-based person, but in the fall I am. And Thanksgiving checks all the boxes, like all the comfort food, the like overconsumption of carbohydrates, the wearing of sweaters and stretchy pants, fires crackling in the fireplace, cool weather. I can walk outside without sweating immediately. Like, it's just, I love it.
It's
so much.
My personal favorite.
Yeah,
I
love it.
Kind of like people think, like, they would think like I'm a beach person because you know I'm from an island. I'm like, no, I'm not actually not. I actually kind of hate, even when I go back home, I prefer to be in the mountains than on the beach.
Yeah.
A lot of people think so. Yep. I am definitely a mountain lady, which is why I am in Tennessee and not in Florida.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of Thanksgiving, right at the top, before I forget, because I tend to forget things, I want to get everybody an update on our schedule. So Rachel and I have been discussing what is our schedule going to be for the holidays. Mm-hmm. We are taking the week of Thanksgiving off. We decided because it was going to be just one episode basically on that week. She has people traveling. I have people. I have to get ready to go up to camp. So the schedule is just a little crazy. And so we decided to enjoy the holiday and I hope that you guys also enjoy the holiday because you're also going to be getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So the week of Thanksgiving, we will not be here. Then we will come back. And I think we're going to be here through the second week of December. And then we're going to be taking the rest of the year off in the first week of January because we have travel and commitments. And honestly, you guys are busy, like, spending time with your family, okay? Yeah. That does not mean that we won't be on Instagram or our Substack or that we won't be, you know, we'll be around. But the podcast is going to take a hiatus for the season, and then we will be back, I guess, with a new season of Rivera and Reeves.
Yes.
I can't believe we've been doing this.
I know. But we'll be back with guests and new
exciting things.
We have plans.
Yeah, especially since the news cycle has been a little crazy. So, but if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. I recommend that you listen to our archive, especially since we're going to be taking a break, and you hit that follow button so you don't miss our following episodes for the short season that we're going to be here until the new year. All right. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday. The plan is that when we come back, we will continue that schedule every Tuesday and Thursday. We have plans and we're reaching out for guests to have some interesting conversations with the new year. We want to bring in some other voices, and I think you guys would really enjoy that. So make sure you hit that follow button. No matter where you're listening, we are on Substack, we are on YouTube, and we are on all your favorite podcast apps. Yes. Okay, so what are we talking about today? I'm going to give Rachel a breakdown on what's been going on in the periphery of the news. There's been like little stories, and I just kind of want to bring everybody a little bit up to date. Just so if they come up in conversation, you have a general understanding about them. And then we're going to talk about Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Because Thanksgiving makes people happy.
Yes. I mean, I am so excited for Thanksgiving. I am so excited. I am currently
So you're staying home, right? And you have family coming to visit.
So my mother-in-law is here already. She flew in last night. So officially, like, the holidays began last night when she got here. Because there's no way my kids are like buckling down and doing school when grandma's here. You know, it's just all the good fun things. So yeah, she flew in and so she'll be here. And then we're having over two different families for Thanksgiving Day after church that morning. And so it's going to be a packed
house.
And right now I'm trying
to
figure out.
We're doing the opposite.
You are. You're like, we are running away to the woods, literally.
Literally. We are headed up to camp. We're doing Thanksgiving dinner, just the two of us up there with the dogs. Yeah. We do have trips with family, but it's going to be later in the year. Okay. So we're just doing Thanksgiving, just the two of us in a tent. And I have a half a turkey. Did you know that Trader Joe's has a half turkey?
Yes, I did.
That you can.
Yes.
I was like, this is perfect for the two of us.
I personally am trying to find the largest turkey that I can find because
I was doing the opposite.
Yeah. We have like 20 people we're feeding and there's like grown men and teenage boys. And so I need to
find get two turkeys.
I know. But I do have a new double oven. So that's okay if I have to.
Well, let's talk about what has been going on in the world. One thing that I did want to mention, or I wanted to play for you, that has been going viral, because I want to get your reaction on this. A lot of people have had their two cents. Mm-hmm. So Democrats in Congress, these are all either veterans or former law enforcement, CIA, put out a video telling the military, essentially, or anyone who is in law enforcement in the United States, but I think this was directed directly at the military, that they do not have to do anything illegal that is commanded by Trump, is basically, I think, what they're trying to say here. But
well, are you going to play it? Okay, good. Play it.
Yes. I was about to say, it is loading. I'm like, if it decides to load, I will definitely play it. So let me pull it up. And I want to get your reaction to this because I have several thoughts. Of course, we love to share our thoughts here. That's the whole point, right?
Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
I have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts. First of all, stop yelling at me, Mark Kelly. Please lower your voice. Thank you. I don't like being yelled at. Secondly, that is giving me, as the kids would say, that is giving COVID video vibes. Remember during COVID when everybody made
imagine
videos?
Imagine all the people.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Like when the whole vaccine came out, them lecturing everybody on getting a vaccine. That's what that instantly reminded me of. And it made me realize, like, this is going to be so cringe. It's cringe now, obviously, but they don't know it's cringe. They think that they're being, like, you know, patriotic and powerful. But it's so cringe, and it'll be even more cringe in, you know, a couple years.
And like
thirdly, yeah, exactly. Thirdly, I specifically want to zone in on the part where they said, we've got your back, you know, and they're emphasizing, like, we've got you, us Democrats, we've got your back, and you need to defy orders, which, by the way, is against the law, defying orders from the commander in chief. Like, why are you telling them they can do that? But anyways, they're telling them that we've got your back. Don't worry about it. You shouldn't, you know, do something illegal. Meanwhile, they were totally fine with members of the military getting, like, ousted from their ranks because they wouldn't get a COVID shot. Like, where were you? Yeah. Did you have their backs then? No, you didn't. It's just, and sixthly, I don't even know what number I'm on.
You don't know where you are.
I want to know specifically what they're talking about. It's always a stressful time. It's always a stressful time to be in law enforcement and to be an intelligence agency
in the military
and in the military. Like, why are you acting like right now is specifically, we're not even, if we're honest, we're not engaged in international conflict. It was probably more stressful for people when it was Biden in the White House, but they're trying to, they're wish casting. They can't give any specific examples. They're just like throwing those vague terms out there. Like, oh, it's stressful.
Well, that was,
what are you talking about? What are the illegal things that you're talking about?
Exactly. What? Cause you're telling people, you're insinuating that something illegal is happening
currently to across the board. They're making very broad statements that are vague.
So what is the illegal thing? And what is it that they should say? I refuse to do this. Also, the other thing that struck me is because they're like, and we have your back. So what they're saying is like, if you say that you're going to defy
the president,
commander-in-chief's orders because you believe that what he is asking you to do is illegal, we will protect you from him, is what they're
how?
Saying.
What does that mean?
First of all, but then my other thought is, okay, so what happens when you believe that the commander-in-chief has ordered something illegal, that these military did as they were told, they were following orders, and now you have control of the House or the Senate, maybe both chambers after the midterms. Are you going to then go after like the military members of the military who followed these illegal orders?
Right. It's almost like
I'm just kind of wondering where does this go?
Yeah. And I don't think they know it. I just think that they're trying to do something. And they think, I don't even know what they're thinking. It's the same. It's virtue signaling, obviously. And it's trying to create a problem that's not there. There are plenty of people in Congress or military, not probably military, but there's plenty of people that are saying Donald Trump is doing this illegal thing. And it's not illegal what he's doing. So if you have members of Congress telling young military men and women, hey, look, he's doing this illegally, and they just say that, even though there's no basis for it being illegal, you're going to have military potentially listening to you and be like, yeah, I'm defying that order. This is going to,
well, I also find it kind of demoralizing.
Right. Yeah.
Like for our service members, like I would find it kind of demoralizing. It's like, okay.
Well,
so
and offensive almost. Like you don't think we're smart enough to know what we're doing. We don't need you. Congress,
so the guy
man and
with
woman.
The, I only know two of them, which was
Slotkin and
Mark
Kelly.
And Elise Stefanik. Yeah. That's
Slotkin.
Slotkin. So there were the only two that I recognized. This other guy, the guy that he had like a beard. I'm trying to remember because he went on with Martha McCallum and they kind of got into it because she was making the same, argument. What is it that has happened that is illegal that you're suggesting that these service members should defy orders? Yeah. Now he didn't provide an argument. He just kept saying, well, it was essentially like, oh, should we only respond after there's been an illegal order? As in, like, this is like a preemptive, just in case the commander in chief says something illegal or does a illegal command. We just want you to know that you can defy those orders. Yeah. Now, it got really testy because then he accused her of saying that she didn't believe that the service members were smart enough to understand what the point of that video was, which was, I think, ridiculous.
But what is the point?
That's why, like, he himself admitted nothing has happened. But just in case, because we all know, you and I and everyone watching knows, wink, wink, how bad the president is and how likely he is to issue an illegal order. So we just want to make sure you get the memo that you don't have to follow said order, even though there was no example of what that would be.
Well, and they weren't even saying that, though. They were kind of gesturing to, like, everything's chaotic and everything he does is illegal and you must be under so much stress. Like, I would find that patronizing, quite honestly, if I was in the military.
I would
be
too.
Like, thank you. Yeah. I can handle it.
I will say that apparently the president has responded on
his
truth.
I did not see a response.
Well, I don't know if this is exactly the way I would suggest the president respond, of course.
Okay.
So here we go. I pulled up his truth, and we got seditious behavior punishable by death.
Okay.
He shared a Washington Examiner article about these, that they urge service members to refuse unspecified unlawful orders. And he says, this is really bad and dangerous to our country. The words cannot be allowed to stand. Seditious behavior from traitors, all caps, 3 exclamation points. Lock them up. 3 question marks. President DJT. And then he started reposting. I don't know if you see this here, but he was also reposting or retruthing, I guess. Yeah. Replies from people calling it an insurrection, treason, sedition. And the one that is getting a lot of traction is this one in particular that says, hang them, George Washington would.
Okay.
2 exclamation points.
Great. So everybody's being totally normal. Wonderful. I don't even know what to say to this. That it's seditious behavior.
But it's not the argument for the president to make, right, that this is seditious behavior.
Yes, but there's a great many things that he should not post. And he does.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's like the way you kind of get through it. It's like, he's not wrong, but also this is not it. Can we?
Yeah.
I remember. So this is, I've never had kids, but I hear women say all the time, it's like you forget the pains of childbirth or whatever. Right. You only remember like the positives of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you think back to his first term and things were a little crazy and his Twitter. Mm-hmm. At the time, because it was Twitter, was exhausting, and it was constant.
It was unhinged,
and
for sure.
It was unhinged, but you just kind of forget about those things because there was also some really good aspects of the administration.
And now it is back.
And now we're here again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I literally put on Instagram, by the way, I don't have a Truth Social account. Should I get one? I don't have one. I don't have room
in my life.
I only
have it to verify because there have been truths posted that weren't true. Like they weren't accurate. So I only have it to literally check his account directly to confirm that he actually posted it.
I'm not getting it.
But
I did just post before we started on Instagram. I was like looking through a couple different, I'm going to find it. I was looking through a couple different, trying to decide what to post news-wise. And literally every story is either violence or really provocative language that people are using about this person and this group and that. And I put, every space feels like a tinderbox ready to ignite. Honestly, I can't be the only one to feel this way because I don't feel like there's a whole lot of normalcy and everybody is on edge is what I feel like. And it's in every direction. It's like military, then the administration, then you've got Democrats over here being wacky. And then you have actual violence in the streets where people are like being set on fire last night. And then you have like sports teams being weird and you have celebrities are just off their rockers. And I don't, it's just going to take one thing for the whole darn dumpster fire to
light
up. Yeah. I don't know. That's like how I feel personally. When the first story I hear in the morning is that a man literally lit a woman on fire last night on a Chicago train and he had 49 prior arrests. That's how your day starts.
I saw you post that, but I haven't seen it.
You just know, like, what is going on? What is going on? And then you've got these guys making videos telling military to defy orders. Like, what?
Like, if you really want to descend into some chaos, start planting seeds into the military that they should, I don't know what, go at it on their own? Like, what are you suggesting here?
No, I don't even want to touch that. I don't even want, why? I'm glad I live out in the sticks, man. That's all.
Well, I'm glad I have access to get out to the sticks.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Actually, in the department of that truth post where he's saying seditious behavior and hang them all, I did want to touch on this real quick before we move on to the next story, because Fox News has a new poll out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not a great poll for the president. And again, this is Fox News. This isn't, you know, like, if anybody's going to favor the president, you would think Fox News is going to be one of them. And in general, Fox News tends to be pretty fair. And so I want to scroll down here because this is about actual concerning issues.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, the economy, when you come down to it, like, to the base points, the economy is going to be the biggest concern, especially if you're just looking for votes and for support for general normal people who are not on social media and in this mess like you and I are. So this one has voters pessimistic on the economic conditions. And excellent to good, the national economic conditions, 25%. Personal financial situation, 40% is excellent and good. Not so good or poor is 60%. And on the national, it's 76%.
Wow.
Currently, I think his general approval numbers are at their lowest. At among all voters, 41% approve of the job Trump is doing, while 58% disapprove. Only once have his ratings been lower, and that was during his first term, where it was 38-57 in October of 2017. 2 months ago, it was 46-54.
Yeah, that's not great. And it's not great that I'm coming from Fox to, you know, where some things are much more sympathetic to the president. But I'm telling you, you're exactly right when you said it comes down to the economy. I saw someone post on X yesterday and basically said, all of us who are online on Twitter arguing, we all think that the next election is going to be about the issue that we are caring about currently.
No,
but it's not. It's going to be about when someone goes to the grocery store and has to pay $6 more for a pound of beef. Like, it comes down to the economy every time. And it's going to come down to, and I've been saying it forever, and I keep saying it, affordability for young people. And there is a strain of that discussion happening on the right with this Fuentes issue, because there are a lot of youths that feel like the American dream is inaccessible to them and they cannot afford it because they can't. No one, the medium home buyer now is like, what, 40 years old? And they just can't afford it. And that leaves them hopeless in a sense. So it is definitely going to be the economy. And Trump needs to
get
something something needs to change. And like fast, especially if we get a Christmas where everybody feels like they're going to spend tons and tons of money, because people are saying that they're spending at record highs right now. But they're going to be left with more credit card debt, more youngsters spending on credit, and they're just gonna they cannot feel like things are going to be available. There's no housing, they can't afford groceries. Something's got to give.
Well, and I mean, this poll too reflects that. So, like, for example, it says views on affordability, you know, it says increase a lot, as in the cost have increased a lot. 60% on groceries.
Yep.
And 25% say it's increased a little. Now, that one has the most significant, but also everything else is hovering around 40% from utilities, healthcare, housing. And then the last one is gasoline, which is the only one that's like shown some positive.
Which is the one he talks about a lot. And
all
it's
the time, because it's great, the one that's actually doing well.
People need to buy food. That's more important.
Well, and then look at this. Like, if you're looking at the administration's economic policies, 46% say they're hurting. 47% said that Biden's hurt in 2024. Yikes. Like, this is not.
It's not great.
This is not bueno.
And then couple it with all of the GOP infighting and the realignment, this whole like mess that's happening.
I'm completely with you. And this is one of the things that I've been. And I get, like, when you're talking, especially, I get really frustrated, and I'm still walking through and trying to figure out, like, how to have this discussion about affordability. Uh-huh. First of all, the president being prideful and doing mm-hmm. the same thing that Biden did, which is basically yeah. telling people everything is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm the best. I've done all these things. Like yep. that is not the way to do it. Okay. Stop doing that. We've already been gaslit. I think you would do a whole lot better if you would acknowledge the problem and yeah. then tell us, what are you doing?
Instead of saying, I'm going to send you $2,000. Like, no, don't do that.
It's looking like that's not, like, I think the Senate even said, we're not doing that. That's inflationary. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yes. So
horrible.
I'm like, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Somebody has some sense. Uh-huh. Also, I'm speculating that this tariff situation, uh-huh. they're going to start on Fridays. You're going to start seeing announcements of tariffs being pulled back of like, just, you know, like uh-huh. just enough to, because it's self-inflicted, let's be honest. Yeah. And so just enough to deal with the self-inflicted error, mm-hmm. but also not to bring enough attention that we made this error.
That we're going back on our word. Yeah.
Correct. We need to make corrections. So that would be my speculation. Now, there's no question that this administration is working really hard to get investment in the United States, bring jobs back to the United States. Mm-hmm. But all of those things, for us to feel them in our pockets, take time. And yeah. the American people don't have, I mean, because of social media and everything that's around us, like, we just don't have the patience to wait it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous for the midterms, because if people don't start at least seeing things turn around, mm-hmm. my concern is that the House or the Senate, or heaven forbid, both flip.
Then
we're at a stalemate, which is just going to make everything worse.
And I mean, we're coming up to another budget showdown at the end of mm-hmm. January. And if that yeah. starts and they do this whole thing again, oh my gosh.
I'm going to need a timeout. I'm going to be like, I'm out. What does that mean? Like, I'm going to find one of those memes. I just throw myself out the window.
Yes, it's true. And I mean, maybe our Christmas vacation will just last forever in that case, because because we're so irritated and just like, I don't know.
Well, and I also get a little frustrated. I get frustrated too, because the discussion of affordability. Mm-hmm. And the solutions that are being requested, especially from the youth on both the left and the right, mm-hmm. is for the government to get more involved.
Yeah, and don't do that.
Don't do that. Because what people are not discussing is that the things that have increased most in cost have had the most meddling from the government. Student loans. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Obama. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The housing crisis. Thank you, Bush/Obama,
healthcare.
And a little, and the Clintons too. Mm-hmm. Healthcare. Thank you, ugh. Affordable healthcare, Obamacare. Like yeah. all of these things that everybody's so concerned about, the prices of, in order for you to buy a home, have mm-hmm. healthcare, get an education, all of these things that the left have long considered the foundational things that are needed in order for people to be successful. Actually, everybody was kind of pushing that, but that the Democrats, especially with the help of establishment Republicans, by the way, yep. have led us to where we are today. And then I'm seeing like this dabbling in this interest of socialism from both the left and the right in the youth. That mm-hmm. is just like, they're just different forms, but they're very yep. similar.
I think it's just because they're looking at what we have, and they're like, the system is not working. It's working for nobody.
Which is fair. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't fault them.
And so they're young and ignorant enough to be like, let's try this, you know?
And I'm like,
and all of us are like, this is not what we try. Let's try something, but not this.
Let's try something else. Like, this actually, I've been here for a hot minute. This is actually kind of part of the problem. Okay. Let's attempt something else. And so I don't know where I can't tell you exactly where it's going to land. I don't have a crystal ball or whatever, but I can tell you what I would recommend needs to be done. It is absolute. And I think, you know, word on the street is I was watching something today. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was a morning meeting, but Mark Halperin, yes, because he had mentioned that, you know, he's been digging around, and from what he knows, the administration is like putting out phone calls to industry leaders, to K Street, mm-hmm. to policy people, because they're trying to brainstorm and come up with yep. this affordability issue. Yeah. So it is being worked on. I just don't know if they're going to come up with the right
quickly
idea.
Yep.
Because 50-year mortgages, $1,000, ain't it. Okay? Nope. Absolutely is not it. So, but moving on, the other thing that has happened, which I think Trump, because we talked about it a little bit on the last episode, which was Epstein. And the Epstein has signed, not Epstein, sorry, Trump has signed the bill, the transparency, Epstein transparency files bill or whatever. I can't remember the name of it exactly. Went through the House, went through the Senate with no edits, got to Trump's desk. He signed it. I think all within like 24 hours. It went really quick.
Yeah, it was very quick.
And interestingly, so far, what we have seen is that we have gotten some Democrats caught in the drama of the Epstein files. Specifically, first of all, to hit real quick, an update on Larry Summers, who is the former Treasury Secretary for Clinton. He was the head over at Harvard University. So initially he was like, I'm not going to be doing any more public engagements. Well, now he also is not teaching any more classes.
Yeah. I saw a video, I think, of his last class at Harvard. Yeah. Someone was taping it. I was like, oh, that's something.
It was really awkward. I should have pulled that because it was a student like doing a sneak video of like when your professor comes in Monday morning and has to apologize for being in the Epstein files. And then they do like a pukey face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, he's like apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm really ashamed. I'm not going to be doing any more speaking engagements, but, you know, we're going to move forward with our classes. And it's like, whoop, no, we're not. Because like 24 hours later, he got booted. And right now, no classes. He's got removed from boards. Persona non grata right now.
Yeah. And it'll stay that way for a while.
Oh, for sure. I actually was thinking about this a little bit because I want to talk about Plaskett. But, you know, first of all, if you were to just think about this from a if you want to talk about this from a political aspect, Epstein ran in Democrat liberal circles. So the likelihood is that a lot of the people that are going to get tied up or mentioned in his emails.
Yeah.
That are going to get hit with frags, you know, by proxy, are going to be Democrat affiliated.
Yeah.
And not necessarily that I think, because my concern here is that also there's going to be a lot of guilt by association. So I am concerned that people are going to get caught up in stuff.
He was rich and he was wealthy and he was super connected. And so many people, it's not like it's bizarre that there was different relationships and they knew each other and they went to the same party and this person knew this one and got invited on this boat, whatever. That's kind of normal for those circles. That just, it's all very incestuous and they all know each other. And that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody implicated is guilty of his debauchery.
But I suspect that there is a contingent within the Democrat Party that is post-Epstein influence.
Oh, yeah.
Younger Democrats that are going to be very willing to use Epstein to throw the older Democrats under the bus.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll do it in a hot second.
Yeah.
They'll burn the whole thing down. They're fine.
Yeah. To move it on is like, we need to get rid of the olds in the party, you know, quote unquote. Yeah. And if we got to do it with, you know, your affiliation with Epstein,
they'll do it.
Then let's do it. They have no problem with it, which is one of the reasons. I mean, honestly, like if you're going to come out and defend Larry Summers after the text exchange where he was asking for wooing advice from Jeffrey Epstein.
Wasn't he married at the time, too?
Yes, he was married. He's trying and he's asking Epstein for advice on how to woo some Chinese, like, and
no,
she's
no, no.
the
woo
daughter of
woo is code word for something else, I would assume. I don't think.
I'm trying to be like correct here. I'm trying to be PG accurate. Friendly here, okay?
Because
it wasn't exactly like he wanted to court her or anything like that.
It wasn't on the
you
up
know
and
what
up.
I mean?
No,
not at all. But what I do find interesting is that Stacey Plaskett, Plaskett, is that Plaskett? Is that how you pronounce her name? I think
Plaskett. I don't remember.
So she is the delegate for the Virgin Islands. So she doesn't even have a vote or anything like that. She's not a representative. And she was on, I played the video. She was on that committee hearing investigating Trump, where he ultimately ended up with those, like, I don't know, like 34 felony charges because of the Stormy Daniels thing, right?
Yeah.
So now she's like doing damage control because she has admitted finally about that it was her and that she was communicating with Epstein. And when she went to the House floor, because there was a call for censure on her, which, you know, there's that has a whole other story, which I'm probably going to talk about a little bit on my newsletter. Specifically on this, I want to play for you just a segment of her speech on the House floor where she was defending herself from censure. Just hear her explanation.
And I got a text from Jeffrey Epstein, who at the time was my constituent, who was not public knowledge at that time that he was under federal investigation, and who was sharing information with me. Now, I heard recently, and I got a text.
So she sounds guilty. Softly well, defensive.
By the way, when this happened, he was already a registered sex offender. He had already been charged previously.
She didn't know that, Mercedes. She didn't know that. He was just a constituent.
She also had received almost $30,000 in donations from Jeffrey Epstein because she's a delegate of the Virgin Islands, which is where Epstein has his homes, right?
Yeah.
And he was there as a resident too,
yeah,
by the way. So that means he spent most of the year there or lived there, right?
Yep.
Now, when the investigation happened in like 2018, 2019, before he committed suicide and everything, and it was revealed that she had received these donations, she initially said she was not going to return the donations or donate the donations. She refused to. It wasn't until she received a whole bunch of pressure that she finally donated those to, I think it was like women's organizations. But in this same speech, she tries to make the argument that people should be more concerned with the fact, or maybe people should be more concerned with the fact, that there's Republicans who are texting a 34-time felon who is the president of the United States.
The people in the audio can't see my face, but
like the eye roll.
I'm just giving up. It's so silly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, she went also on CNN to defend herself again.
Was Scott Jennings there? Please tell me he was.
No, he has talked about this, but he was not there. Dang. I know. You were like, please let Scott Jennings be there. He's making this point, though, however. But let's hear. This is her second attempt to defend herself.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information, and I was going to get information to get at the truth. Having a friendship with him is not something that I would deem to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward.
Wait, let me just better understand that. What is that point? Because at the time, he was a known sex offender, and it had been detailed all the sexual abuse.
There are a lot of people who have done a lot of crimes, and as a prosecutor, you get information from people where you can.
Again, very defensive, because she knows she's wrong. She knows she's caught, and she knows that everybody, including the CNN panel, is like, lady, just say.
They're like, come on.
That you regret it.
And then she's like, can we just move on from this? Can we also, move
does
on
she
from the fact?
Make up a word. Did she say deemed? Like what? I don't know.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention for that.
Yeah.
So I was just listening to the fact that she really wants us to move on.
She wants to move on. Oh, yeah. I bet she does. Yes. That's usually what people want when they are caught.
Yeah. Well, so far, I have seen Jamie Raskin come to her defense. I have seen Hakeem Jeffries also come to her defense. In fact, I think Hakeem Jeffries was on with Caitlin Collins. I wish I had pulled this clip because she kept asking him.
Hakeem Jeffries got donations from.
Okay, so I don't.
Epstein too, right?
Okay, let me explain that one. And I hate to.
No, Hakeem... I don't know enough. So tell me what.
Okay, so apparently what.
And then
happened...
we need to talk about Thanksgiving. I am done with
we're
these
about
people.
To go. We're about to go there. As soon as I. let me summarize this for you because you asked the question.
I know.
So
I know. I need to know.
Jeffries, when he was running, I think initially, I think this was like 2018 or something.
Okay.
It was for a midterm. His campaign sent out an email to donors, and one of these was Jeffrey Epstein.
I see.
And so they were saying, hey, we want a donation. Come meet the Brooklyn Barack Obama or whatever, which is Yeah, he's that's a rising star.
That is
you can
inaccurate.
Make this donation. You can meet him. So I think that was more of just, this is a donor list. Epstein's okay. on the donor list, and they sent out the email. I don't necessarily think that there was a direct, I don't think it was a, I don't think Epstein had Hakim's text number. You know, I think it was just like a donation email. Okay. But yes, it looks like Hakim Jeffries received donations from Jeffrey Epstein. But I don't think okay. he like had like knowledge about it
right,
per se. It's
right.
just like we're just campaigning.
His network was
guy.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been interesting to watch this whole thing play out.
Yeah.
Because they're all defending their own. Because even like, well, what's her name? Our friend. What's her friend's name? Crockett.
Jazzy.
Jasmine Crockett went to the House floor, accused Mitt Romney, Lee Zeldin, a few other Republicans of having received donations from Jeffrey Epstein. And mm-hmm. it turns out that the Jeffrey Epstein was a doctor, not the Jeffrey Epstein.
How embarrassing.
And then she had to go on with Caitlin Collins on The Source, and she's asked about this, and she was just kind of like, look, I said it was a Jeffrey Epstein, okay?
Oh,
I only
sure.
had so much time to look it
sure.
up.
Right.
I didn't know, you know, what you should be more concerned about is that this, they're texting with a 34-time felon who's in the White House. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing. Please shut up.
Well, and it's kind of like they all got the message that this is the line of attack they need to use right
yeah.
now. You know how they all.
By the way, the 34-count felon.
Yeah. yeah.
Who is appealing the case. And obviously we don't have time to get into that one, but yeah, it is ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay. They're circling the wagons, but I wanted to point this out because I think what is likely to happen is that the Democrats, when this come up, when mm-hmm. these situations come up, if you are an older Democrat that's been around for a while, yep. they're going to leave you out to dry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then if you're a younger one, like Plaskett is, they're going to circle the wagons to defend you and be
well,
like,
didn't Hogg, what was his name?
David Hogg?
He's the one who said that out loud in an interview. We talked about it on the podcast a couple months ago where he was just like, basically, we
oh, yeah.
need to get the old people out. We need
yeah,
a new
he was
generation.
Like, we got to get rid of the olds. And
people didn't
about...
like that, but he was just saying what they're all thinking.
I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into something a little bit more fun. Okay.
Because. Okay.
Rachel's like, I want to talk about Thanksgiving.
I do.
Know.
Food. I want to talk about it.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, you all know, gather around, children. Let's learn the story of Thanksgiving. Okay. Now, if you went to grade school like I did and you did your mm-hmm. plays, you may be dressed up as a turkey mm-hmm. or a Native American or a mm-hmm. pilgrim.
Yep.
With your buckle in your hat.
Yeah.
And you did, and you put on a play. And a lot of people, that's what we all think about when we think about Thanksgiving. But mm-hmm. actually, Thanksgiving was a campaign by a woman of the name Sarah Josepha Hale, mm-hmm. who was the editor of, what is the name? It was Gordy's Women's Journal, I think, or something.
Yeah, it was like a ladies' magazine.
Ladies' book. So she mm-hmm. was the editor of, I don't know, Cosmopolitan magazine for the day or whatever,
yeah.
or Vogue. I think more Vogue is a little better than Cosmo. Anyways,
know.
Doesn't matter. It was a women's magazine, okay, or a women's publication. And she did letter campaigns for years.
Yeah.
I think she started, let me see if I can look at my notes real quick. She started letter campaigns for 17 years.
Yeah.
She ran a lobbying campaign and it went through multiple presidents. It was finally, it was, I think, Lincoln who decided to
yes.
listen to her campaign.
Yeah.
And so her idea.
She was persistent, though. She was definitely persistent.
Very persistent. So apparently, I was looking this up, and the story is that Thanksgiving was celebrated, but it was celebrated in New England mm-hmm. because that's where
New
it all
England.
Started with the pilgrims and everything. Like, it makes sense. And during the American Indian War, like, this is during a time that the United States is going through a lot of division. We had the American Indian War, we're having slavery, the United States is expanding, there are fights over what states are going to take on slavery, what states aren't going to have slavery, North versus South. We're just getting a lot of division. And finally, she was making the case pretty consistently about wanting to have a unifying Christian holiday
Yes.
And she was proposing that it would be Thanksgiving. It would be a day for the country to come together all on the same day and give thanks for their nation mm-hmm. and to pray over the nation. And actually, her whole focus was that it was going to be a Christian holiday.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't about feasting and eating. It was about, you know, praying and giving thanks to the Lord for our nation and for the unification of our country, which is really what her focus was, which I thought was actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until Lincoln that, and I think it was after, was it after Gettysburg? It was along with the, or maybe one of his proclamations, where he did a Thanksgiving proclamation.
He did, but I don't remember if it was before or after.
And in that Thanksgiving proclamation, he was like, we should do, and he used her exact letter and her exact campaign. Mm-hmm. Like everything that she had promoted, everything that she has said, he didn't even rewrite it or anything. He was just like, I'm going to take this lady's letter. She's editor at this, at the one, I think I read the circulation was 155,000. So for
that time, that's a lot.
It was huge. It was really for sure. Like a big deal. And so, yeah, he took her letter, he took her campaign, proclaimed Thanksgiving, but it wasn't until FDR
until
that Thanksgiving became an actual federal holiday and was said, as a federal holiday, we will, as a nation, have Thanksgiving on the second, you know, Thursday of November.
Thursday.
What did I say? I said second. I meant second to last. So yes, fourth. Whatever. Whatever day. I never pay attention. Whatever day Thanksgiving is. So, but it was FDR that actually made it official. But even through the proclamation that Lincoln did, like it started to expand and more, because you had governors that were declaring it. Like each individual state started to pick it up within their own state. And then it didn't become federal until FDR, because FDR made everything federal. Let's be honest.
He federalized literally everything.
Everything. So I always thought that was like a really interesting story because
way to go,
growing
Abe.
Up,
I like it.
We're all like pilgrims, the meal. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was a letter campaign from a women's journal editor.
Yeah. For 17 years. I mean, she really wanted this holiday.
She was
really bad.
This, I think, is like, this is the thing. This is what's going to unify the country. Everything's going to be awesome. And I think it's also very interesting that it was Lincoln because of the Civil War and trying to, and actually he got made fun of for the proclamation in the South. Like a lot of people just, like the South thought it was absolutely ridiculous and that it was propaganda, not to listen to him. This is silly.
Well,
and now, honestly, some of the best side dishes come from the South.
It's true. They got into it eventually because it's food. It brings us all together.
Absolutely. Do you have a particular favorite thing that you like to do for Thanksgiving?
Well,
like, food-wise?
I mean, food-wise?
Like, do you have a dish? Is there a dish that you
have,
that you have to make?
All of them. But if I, like... Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I will say, and put this in the show notes if you can, because Mercedes does everything for this podcast. I put together on Substack like a week and a half ago our master recipe list for Thanksgiving, like every dish that we cook. And then I also put a space in there about all of our traditions for Thanksgiving and some ideas for people if they're interested. So, but yes, I started making about 7 or 8 years ago, something called leek bread pudding.
Yummy.
And it's by Thomas Keller.
I was about to say that.
Yep. And
I said, how French? And then you said Thomas Keller, who does French.
Yes. And it is like, it's just so decadent and rich and really, 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 really good. And I know people who are like, I don't like bread pudding and I don't like leeks, but I like this. So it's very bougie.
So is it like a dressing? Because it's a savory bread pudding?
I mean, it is, but it's a little bit more wet than a dressing. So it's definitely a bread pudding, but it's savory and it's delicious. And it's got cheese and heavy cream and brioche bread and leeks. It's so good. You will love it. But it's bougie, like I said, and it is expensive to make. You're dropping some, that's like a $30 casserole, okay? But it's so worth
it. Between the cream, the butter, the eggs,
the nice cheese.
The bread, for sure.
But it is worth it. And I only make it once a year. And then obviously I have to have all the like ghetto food as well, like stovetop stuffing, green bean casserole with the crispy onions. So I roll high and I roll low. And then in the middle, this is lowbrow tater tot casserole. I make a killer tater tot casserole. We have that every year. So yeah. And then other stuff. My husband makes killer mashed potatoes and stuff like that. So
do you make your own cranberry sauce? Do you do cranberry sauce?
Frankie makes it. Our second daughter makes it every year. She makes it with fresh cranberries and orange and sugar, and it's delicious. Yeah.
So it's funny that you mentioned the tater tot casserole or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners know my family's from Puerto Rico. We're Puerto Rican. And yes, we do Thanksgiving on the island. It is a big holiday on the island. However, our Thanksgiving is just, it's different, right?
Yeah.
It's catered to the taste of what you grow up with on the island. So typically, like, a turkey will make an appearance, but also sometimes a pork shoulder will also be there.
Delicious.
Rice is always on the menu. Like, you have to have rice.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we would, you'll do rice, you'll have mashed potatoes or a potato salad.
Mm.
But the green bean casseroles, the sweet potato casseroles, they will periodically make an appearance, but they're
interesting. They're optional.
They're optional. They're not common. And so I remember my husband and I were first married, right? And we moved to Oklahoma, which is a big culture shock.
That's a departure from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and he grew up mostly in Florida with a very Puerto Rican family. I obviously grew up in a Puerto Rican household. We would go home to Puerto Rico for the holidays. So all of my holidays, for the most part, had been Puerto Rico, Latin, Spanish adjacent, right?
Yeah.
So we moved to Oklahoma. This is our first holiday season away from family. So away from his family. And I have a girlfriend who her family was in Arkansas. And so it was driving distance from us, and she was going home for Thanksgiving to Arkansas. And so she invited us. Awesome. So we go to Arkansas for our first Thanksgiving away from our family.
Uh-huh.
And the culture shock.
No, it's totally different.
It was so sweet, but it was also hilarious because I had never experienced that level of casserole in my life.
Right.
The plethora of casseroles that they had, the variety of casseroles they had, things that I had never heard of in my entire life, like a strawberry pretzel salad dish.
Oh, yeah. It's a Jell-O salad with strawberries. Yes. I know. And
first
it has
time
some,
ever. I was like, okay. Yep. It was delicious.
It's good, though.
Everything was delicious. Yep. But I remember, my husband and I are standing there with our plates, and really the only things I identified was the dressing, the stuffing. Stuffing is absolutely a thing back home.
Yeah.
The turkey, obviously. Sweet potato dish, like those sort of standards. But all of these other casseroles, the strawberry pretzel salad one, there was like a zucchini one. There was, I think that was the first time I ever had like the corn pudding kind of casserole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was just so many. And I was overwhelmed with the choices because they were just very Southern casseroles. It was so good, though.
We have to clean off our whole sideboard in the dining room. It's, it has like a record player on it and books and stuff, because there will be just lined casserole dishes, just so many of them, because I'm making multiple casseroles of those things. But then we have like the normal stuff, like stovetop, like I am thinking about making a macaroni salad because I make a really, really, really good one. But then like you got mashed potatoes, you've got gravy. And then our family always puts out, not our family, me and Sean, but because my family, when I was growing up, did it. It's like a silver two-pronged dish. And on one side, we put black olives. And on the other side, we put bread and butter pickles. And that's just always been on our Thanksgiving table. So now it's on our Thanksgiving table, but none of my children eat bread and butter pickles. I'm the only one who eats it. I'll eat the whole thing. Only like two of them eat olives, but it just has to be there along with our turkey butter. We always get
a turkey butter. That's funny. Do you put the turkey out like glistening golden, like out on display?
No, not anymore. We don't have room. We have too many humans in this house. And then if we invite people, I mean, we'll bring it out of the oven and we'll be like, ooh, awesome. And everybody looks at it. But Sean has an electric carver, which we've been using for our entire 23 years married. And our friends were chefs in California. And the first Thanksgiving we spent with them, like they came over for a friend's Thanksgiving. And we pull out our turkey, which we name every year, and set it on the counter. And Sean busts out the electric carver. And our friend, who's a chef, walks in. He's like, "What are you doing?" And Sean's like, "Excuse me, you're going to love this." And he's like, I don't think so. And Sean was like, try it right now. And then every subsequent year, the chef would do it with the electric carver because it is pretty cool. You just set it on there and it cuts the turkey. So no, we cut the turkey and bring it out on a platter because it's just too much. There's too many plates. There's too many dishes.
Well, the reason I ask is because there's, you know, one of the things that I do when I do a turkey, and I actually got this from my mother-in-law. So when she does it, I didn't initially do this, but it was actually kind of genius.
Okay.
If you're not wanting like a turkey on display, you know, if you don't want like the, you know, the crispy skin and everything like that. But I roast my turkey breast side down.
Okay.
Because that way, like, it just bastes itself in the breast. Like, it gets all the juice.
That's a really good idea. Oh, wait. Maybe Sean did that last year. I don't remember. But three, four years ago, I was pregnant. So, it was, Sean lit his face on fire because getting the turkey out of the oven because we didn't, the holder for the turkey was one of those flimsy, like, disposable ones because we didn't have a nice pan. And so he went to get it out, and it, like, buckled. And so all the hot juices fell.
Oh, my gosh.
And something ignited. And so it singed off all of his eyebrows and his hairline. And he smelled like smoke. And it took a couple years for it to all grow back. We still talk about it every Thanksgiving. It was legitimately scary when it was happening. Like, my husband, I was thought, I don't know what is going to happen here. And everybody's screaming. But then when it all calmed down and we mopped the floor like six times because everybody was slipping and sliding and falling everywhere, it became a fun story eventually.
I will say one of my biggest like Thanksgiving mistake or faux pas or whatever, it was one of my first Thanksgivings that I hosted by myself. I was probably maybe 20 years old or 21. I was I was married previously. He was in the military and we were on the base and we had our friends over for Thanksgiving. And I, you know, we're all like without family, all of our friends, I think like we're Puerto Rican and Dominican and stuff like that. So I was like, I'll do a Thanksgiving at home. I'll make the rice. I'll make the turkey. It'll be great. Well, in Puerto Rico, there is this, what is called like a sweet habanero pepper. Ají dulce. They look like habanero peppers, but they're not spicy. They're like sweet scotch bonnets, I think is what they call them in English. Anyways, went to the grocery store. I saw peppers. I was like, awesome. I have the peppers to add to my rice for my sofrito and everything like that. Very excited. No. Did not look at the packaging or anything. I just grabbed them. I was on the run. I'm in the kitchen. I'm cutting them up with my bare hands, just minding my own business.
You put them in your face. You put the hands in your face.
At some point, I touched my face and I'm still cooking and I'm going along and my face lights on fire and I cannot figure out what it is, which then makes me touch my face again, which then makes it worse. So then finally it clicks that there's something up with something I'm messing with. And I look at the packaging and underneath it says hot Jamaican peppers.
My gosh.
So I have people coming over. My face is on fire. I'm freaking out. I go upstairs and I cover my face in cold cream. And I convince myself that somehow I have not ruined the rice.
You have ruined
it. And I charge forward because I had no other options. It's Thanksgiving. Things are closed. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. And I made my first guest, one of my closest girlfriends, showed up early to help me set up.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, she shows up and I'm like covered in cold cream and I'm trying to explain to her what is going on. I think between the two of us, we were like, yeah, it'll be fine. The rice will be fine. The rice was completely like you couldn't eat it. It was not at all. So,
but it makes a good story. Makes a good story.
My very first Thanksgiving that I hosted, that I cooked, that I had friends over. I lit my face on fire with scotch bonnets.
Do you ever eat stovetop stuffing?
That is the stuffing.
It is the
stuffing. That is the one now, that I grew up with.
Yes.
That is the one that I make.
Yes.
I use the inner, like the innards of the turkey.
Uh-huh.
and I boil them with the water, and I cut them up, and I pull all the meat off the neck, and I use that as the liquid to make my stuffing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Delicious. And then I try and ground beef and other things.
Yeah. So I don't, we just do straight out of the microwave. That's stovetop.
I try and dress it up.
It a little bit. I put in thinly chopped shallots and thinly chopped celery because someone made fun of me one time. They're like, I lived in California. Everybody there had a strong opinion about like literally everything. And they were like, you're not going to serve that, are you? I'm like, darn right I am. This stuff is great. This is my childhood.
Heck yeah.
I was shamed.
That is always what I make for Thanksgiving. Now I add stuff in. I add ground beef in. I add the stuff. The only thing I don't add in from the turkey is the liver, but the heart, the gizzards, the meat from the neck, all of that gets mixed into the stuffing and apples and onions and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, so it's not stovetop stuffing. It's Mercedes
but
stuffing.
I used the stovetop stuffing.
As the base, I suppose.
My own additions, okay? Also, my mom used to stuff the bird. I don't stuff the bird anymore.
Oh, see, I don't stuff. We never did that. I was always afraid of like
I have vivid memories of my mother just stuffing the bird.
We do stuff the entire bird with chopped lemons and oranges and rosemary. And then my husband takes an entire pat of Kerrygold butter and it's like softened and he puts his hand under the skin of the turkey and then there's just butter everywhere. It is the most buttered of all turkeys. And it's so good. It's so good. Do you brine your turkey?
If I'm just doing a turkey breast or something, yeah. But typically I don't.
I'll season it
the day before. Like I'll do an entire seasoning and stuff on it the day before, but I don't brine it.
Do you want me to gross you out with something?
Do you want to gross everybody out?
This is how I learned to defrost a turkey. It wasn't a take the turkey out and put it in the fridge for a couple days or just buy it fresh, like right before. We always bought frozen turkeys like weeks in advance. And instead of putting it into the fridge for a couple days, my family and now this family puts it in a tepid, lukewarm bathtub. I've been told by so many people that you are going to get a disease by doing that. That is not proper.
I defrost my meat like that all the time, especially if I don't plan ahead
so
of
do
time.
I get a bowl of water and I just let it run until. Okay, so you told me it's okay, so I believe you because people have shamed me for that as well.
I'm not going to take any act, like if you get sick, that's on you. You assume the risk or whatever. But that is what I've done that all the time with steaks, with chicken. I mean, unless it's like the turkey is, what's the word I'm looking for? Like daring, so to speak, just because of the size of it and the amount of time
daunting.
It takes versus like if I were to do a steak or, you know, a pound of ground beef or something like that.
Yeah.
But here's a little secret. We do that in restaurants sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. So there.
Like if you're a pinch of service and you need to get some stuff, like I've done that in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what restaurant.
But it's been done.
But it has happened.
We also, our family watches The Twilight Zone all day on Thanksgiving.
You mentioned that last year.
Yeah.
Which
that's
I
just
thought
what
was
we do.
Interesting.
My girls are so excited. Yeah. One of them looked at me yesterday and goes, I can't wait to watch The Twilight Zone. It's the only time during the year we do it. So we don't watch like the Macy's Day Parade or anything like that. Because by the way, even when we were in California, so that was like 8 years ago, we watched the Macy's Day Parade one day or 1 year. And I'm sitting there with my girls and like women were, it was for a hall musical, Broadway musical. They're out there gyrating, half naked, questionable language and gestures. And
your sensibilities.
I was like, I'm too old for this. I'm a curmudgeon now. I can't have this in my atmosphere. So we just watched Twilight Zone instead. Much needed upgrade. So,
oh my gosh, I've been on an Alfred Hitchcock kick recently, watching his old stuff. So,
do you like Rear Window? That's my favorite.
Absolutely,
it's my favorite.
How can
I
you
love it so much?
Yeah, Rear Window, Psycho. What was the other? Vertigo is a good one.
Vertigo is a good one.
Yeah. So Marnie? Can't remember the name. It's a woman's name or something. She kind of goes a little crazy, gets obsessed with someone. So I love those. So, but I want to hear from you guys. What do you do for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Like, what
or if you have an insane recipe that we need to cook, send it to us ASAP.
Yeah. I'll open up the comments for everybody for Thanksgiving. If you have a link to a recipe that you want to share, if you have, you want to break it down for someone and be like, this is a must. Trust me.
Yep.
Go ahead, share it. If you have a weird tradition, I would love to hear about that. Or a story where you put hot Jamaican peppers on your face.
Yep.
I want to hear about it. So drop those in the comments on Substack. We would love to hear from you. I want to remind you guys that we're not going to be here next week because we're going to take the week of Thanksgiving off. So enjoy it with your family. Hopefully travel. If you are traveling, I pray that it is smooth and safe travels for everybody, regardless of whether they're coming to visit you or where you're going. We want everybody to have a good time. Did I forget anything? Is there anything you want to add to your Thanksgiving?
I don't think so. I think I outlined all of it. I think we're, no, I was going to say, you know how some people, like our family is staunchly in the camp of you do not celebrate.
I don't put up
anything Christmas
after. Yes,
nothing.
Correct.
So we eat the pumpkin pie, and once everything's in Tupperwares in the refrigerator, then we turn on Christmas music and we dance around the house. It's fun.
I have a very strict rule for that. Yeah. There is no Christmas.
Nothing.
Until Christmas, Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Half my street right now is full of Christmas decorations already.
No, for sure. Everything and everybody is like, Merry Christmas. I needed Christmas early this year. It's so stressful. And I'm just like this the whole time. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it. But Friday is the day we go get a Christmas tree and we decorate all day. So it's fun. It's a good tradition.
Good times. All right, friends. Well, that's it. That's all we have for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. Drop your Thanksgiving traditions, recipes, and stories in the comments. We'd love to read them and share them. We will be back in a week. So not next Tuesday, the following Tuesday for another episode of Rivera and Reeves. If this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button. Wherever you're listening, we are on Substack, YouTube, and on your favorite podcast app. If you're a paying supporter, thank you so much. We are so grateful for your support. And if you want to become a paying supporter, there is a link in the show notes where you'll get a bonus episode, you'll get a full archive, access to our community, and all the kind of extra goodies. extra goodies. Especially with the new year, we're going to be bringing in some guests on the podcast, and we might be opening it up exclusively for a segment for some of our paying supporters for Q&A. So I would highly recommend that you consider it for that reason. Also, go have a fabulous Thanksgiving. And in the meantime, here's a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.